This is the Echo Network.
The Royal Man Report.
They even have a sponsor now.
Kelly's Westported
with Jeff Herr.
I'm the back-to-baseball guy.
Michael Engel.
They call themselves the Kings of Kaufman.
Chris Kamler, who is the producer.
All right, stand by.
And Troy Olson. And now, the Royal Man Report.
Which is this group of Royals fans, like three or four of them, and they are kind of clinically insane.
And welcome into the Royal Man Report. We do indeed hope we have your attention here on Sunday night, 7 p.m. from the Man Cave. We are rocking it out to little 49 Stones as always.
And God, I love that song. The more I hear it, I just freaking love it. It's really neat.
They're going to do a live show at Kelly's on Sunday, July 8th, after the events at the K. Head on down there because we're doing a little bit of a Royal Man Report party down there. If the guys want to come, that's cool. There will be a cover when the band's on, and I can't get you around that. But I'm hoping that maybe some of the guys from Baseball Perspectives will come down with us, and we're going to have a good time.
Did you see how we did that there? We call that synergy. That's fantastic.
Where you bring it all together.
You just kind of move right into a little promo right there. Fantastic.
It's not our first radio. It's not our first night on the radio there.
This is not the first time that I have hosted a show.
Yes.
I am Troy.
Unlike some of us.
Oh, gosh. I didn't mean to make that synergy, but synergy happened just now.
Look at that. Synergy all over the place.
I am Troy Olson.
I got a little synergy
on my shirt.
I'm
covered in synergy right now.
Okay, let's try this.
What's going on?
I have less control of the show once again. I am Troy Olson.
That was awesome.
That's a new record.
I am the host of the Royal Man Report, and I don't even know what's going on at this point. I am joined.
Can we just start it over? No, let's keep it in.
I'm joined in the Man Cave, of course, by Chris Kamler, Michael Engel, and Jeff Herr. We are giving Jeff a little bit of a hard time because if you don't listen on Thursdays to the KC Baseball Vault.
No, you really should, this one. This
you really
one
should.
Fantastic.
We should listen to all of them, but it's on 1510 on Thursdays from 6 to 7 p.m., and it's pretty good. It's us guys plus Jeff Logan from the KC Baseball Historical Society who invited us to do the show with him, and Jeff was put in the spot of having to host only the second time ever, I think. He hosted one of our Royal Man Reports and then that, and he. I think the nerves got to you, Jeff, a little bit. What do you think?
I don't know. It was not my shining moment. I think there was like three points in there where I just like was out of my element completely.
Outside of that,
I thought I did okay, but just like
I was listening, and it kind of almost sounded like at one point in time you just threw your hands up.
It was close to that.
You know,
we're doing the phone thing.
Yeah, the phone thing wasn't your fault.
I knew that was a bad idea from the start. I sent these guys an email earlier in the week. I was like, guys, I'm kind of worried about this.
You got a bad feeling about the phones.
I don't know how this is going to work. And I feel like Ned Yost blaming the phones. And
the bad boy got in the way of the phone line. That's what happened there.
All my worst fears came true.
You know, it was a good show, and we are on every Thursday on 1510 from 6 to 7 p.m. You can pick that show up on download right on the Royal Man Report website, royalmanreport.com, and you can also get it at iTunes and all these other places. Tune in radio. Where else are we at, Chris?
Stitcher.
We're everywhere. Stitcher.
Tune in radio, yeah. Stitcher. You know, the funny thing is, and I don't think we're telling anybody any secrets. I think you could all ask us and we'd say the same thing. We didn't really know what that show was going to end up being. And it's actually, I mean, you send an email and you say, oh, God, guys, I was terrible, but it was actually pretty a good show. You know, I mean, it's to hear some of the old, the new, the future and the past. I mean, it's going well, I think.
I ask myself, like, how many people actually listen to that show and say, like, oh, you know, some of the older guys, you know, I mean, it's way before my time, so I don't even know most of that stuff. I have to research it before the show. But every time I talk to my dad, he grew up actually an A's fan when he was a kid, and then they moved away when he was about your son's age, Chris, and then he's still got a soft spot for the A's and all those guys. He's like, oh man, I mean, Monty Moore. He's like, oh, I remember the sound of his voice. You know, mm-hmm. I recognized it as soon as I heard it when he was listening.
Absolutely.
So I mean, there's definitely a lot of people who still really like to hear about that.
In all seriousness, the next time that we have an open chair on the vault, I want to have your dad on, and I really mean that. Because I think he'd be great.
Who, my dad or
yeah,
Chris's
your
dad?
Dad.
Oh, my dad?
I think your dad would be awesome.
My dad would be terrible.
my dad was on. We had him on for a little bit, but I'd love to get him on. My dad has like more baseball knowledge about Kansas City
We should have him. We can have him on the over the house.
So today actually would have been an apropos day.
That would have been pretty good.
It'd
be a happy Father's Day to
Happy Father's Day to yourself.
None of you, Chris. But just happy Father's Day to me. So
yeah, happy Father's
all.
Day
to all our fathers out there.
Absolutely,
that listen to the show.
There is a lot of fathers that listen to the show, and happy Father's Day to all of you. And you know, especially the ones sitting in our chat room right now. I know, future Mrs. A1's in there, but we'll give a shout out to
Lance.
She's
an honorary father.
Yeah, we'll give a shout out to Lance. He's a dad. Dave Darby. He's got a little boy and. Very cute little boy, and I think that's the only two that are sitting in the chat room right now that I know of that have kids.
And but. it's Happy Flight Day, so you know, that's,
hey, but,
that's good.
But guess what, guys?
What, Troy?
This freaking baseball team rocks right now.
Yeah, it rocks.
Well, they're less than suck. Let's put it that way. They were swept by the Pirates. Then they sweep the Brewers, taking down the big bad Zach Greinke, who did not get booed. Not too loudly, add the K.
Well, it would have been nice for Fox Sports Midwest to show us what happened on his inaugural run out to the mound. Instead, they went to commercial. I was ticked about that.
It was kind of a mix, but from everybody that I talked to, and I was there, but everybody I talked to agreed that it was more cheers than jeers. So, and I think that was good by KC because it's the best thing we could have done. Swept that series. Luis Mendoza almost has a no-hitter somehow.
Yeah, what was that?
He didn't totally suck at this start either. So I mean, maybe he's an okay pitcher.
Two runs, six innings. I'll take that. If that's what I get from every pitcher from the Royals for the rest of the season, I'd absolutely take it.
Yeah. And today, of course, was the end of the Cardinals series, and the Royals take 2 out of 3 in St. Louis. Coming home next weekend to finish them off. We're going to take at least 4 out of 6 in that series, and it's going to rock. You know, I really, really have enjoyed the last 5 days being a Royals baseball fan. It has been some of the craziest baseball games I have ever seen in my life, and I have been and seen a lot of baseball, and this has been insane with these ninth inning wins, with the Brewers playing like the Royals, and then the Cardinals playing like the Royals, and it's just been awesome.
Well, having them just those games in particular, you know, like the weird play at the plate and the walk-off walk and things like that, you know, on their own, you know, those can happen anytime. But having them, you know, day after day, you know, here's a walk-off, here's a strange play at the plate, and then, you know, 15 innings to top it off. I mean, it just seems appropriate that we have a 15-inning game where Tim Collins is dropping down bunts and hitters are pinch hitting and things like that. Pitchers are pinch hitting. Thank you for the correction.
That play at the plate on Friday night. I mean, my girlfriend's parents were out of town, so she was over there, and I was just sitting by myself watching that. I'm like jumping up and down. It's like the KU made the Final Four. I was like, oh man, that was such an awesome.
Well,
I got really excited.
It looks like a play that I would see on the Little League field.
Yeah, it was a Little League play.
In every possible way, because that's exactly how it happens. You don't get the guy at second. Ball rolls wherever. Second baseman throws it over the third baseman. Third baseman gets it, throws it home, and lo and behold, we get him out.
You know what? Ned Yost, his sense of humor is highly undervalued, because they asked him after the game. They said, what happened on there? He says, no, that's exactly how we drew it up.
Yeah.
Well,
stone cold as possible. He's like, no, we totally did that.
The routine 2-6-4-5-2 put out at home.
Yeah. That
yeah,
day,
no, you bet.
That day, or the day before, was the one where Dyson scores on a play that should have went to the plate, but instead went to second base. Meanwhile, Francoeur and Ned have been thrown out of that game, and they're up in the clubhouse, and Ned says in the postgame that he said that when they tied the game, they were like jumping around, pushing each other, all excited, not realizing that Dyson's headed home all of a sudden, turn over, see that they're winning the game, and they're pushing each other even more. I mean, you could see these two fools up in the clubhouse just knocking each other out.
I would pay money to see that. That would be pretty entertaining.
That actually would.
Can we do that?
We need to sneak one of these cameras we got in here into that room, and next time they get thrown out, we'll...
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
I know, just two to contact for that, too.
A guy can dream.
Yeah, you know what the best part is?
What's the best
Tell
part,
the best
Mike?
Part.
We took 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals.
That's the best part.
God, I hate the Cardinals.
And all you see on Twitter is Cardinals fans talking about how the Royals are treating this like it's our World Series. But, you know, we lose yesterday. Not a lot of complaints by Royals fans.
Nope.
Not a lot.
They lose the day before,
Twitter just burned down. They're ones to talk. They treat everything like it's still the 1985 World Series. Like, you get over it already. You've won two since then and been to another one.
Yeah.
I mean, jeez. Nope.
Like, Jilted Lovers, it's just like...
It is just like Jilted Lovers.
I know, it's like you're with somebody better, but you still get pissed off at the other person.
Still
it's
off
like, come on now.
It's like, come on. Like, what's going on? Over it.
So Friday... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go. You're fine.
I was going to say, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they come here to Kansas City. I'll be out there Saturday for... you guys know Bill Ivey from I-70 Baseball. He's getting married.
Sure.
And we're doing his bachelor party out to the K. So it's going to be me, two guys that really don't care about baseball, and three Cardinal fans.
Ouch.
My life is going to suck.
Hey, the beer is just as cold for the Cardinals
fans. There's some version of hell out there that starts just like that.
Yeah. That's if
see,
anybody...
where was that Thursday? That would have been a dynamite drop-in.
There you go.
Nice job.
So congratulations to Jay Binkley on getting a new show
Binkley.
On 610.
Yes.
My man.
Jay's a good friend of mine. He's somebody I truly can call a friend. He's done a lot for me. He's
the hell
done
you call
for
us?
Friends. He's done a lot for the KC Royal Man brand. He was the first person. I guess he was the second person to put me on the air. Sean did out at the K one time, and then Jay did here. But he made me part of their show, part of Three Guys in a Garage. And I am so happy for him to get that shot on 610 from 2 to 6. And you'll actually hear
he's doing pretty good. His first week went pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah, and I tell you guys, you know, for the baseball season, with the Royals not being very good, they're not going to talk a lot of baseball. It's just what it is. But come football season and college football season, there's nobody better than Jay out there. There's nobody better in Kansas City than Jay when it comes to
college
and pro
football.
I think
they're going to do a great job. Yeah.
So it's him. It's Josh Vernier, I believe is how you say his name.
Vernier.
Something like that. From Milwaukee. Yeah. He's a good baseball guy. He's getting his grip on Kansas City. Kind of made an idiot of himself the first day, but
right. a little bit.
Talks smack on Twitter. And yeah. Like, I'm not a sports radio guy, but
yeah,
I had to jump in on it too. Just because it's like, why not? I think first, I asked if he still has a MySpace page.
In the first five minutes, the guy goes, what? Twitter's for old people and idiots and morons and people just talking about their penises all the time. I'm like, well,
correct.
Yeah, true, but it's a whole lot more stuff, too.
Yeah, that's not a good way to
he goes, yourself.
I think it was I'm not a look at me kind of guy or whatever. And I was like, I don't know anyone like that on Twitter.
Yeah, right. By the way, you can follow me at Michael Engel.
Yeah.
And Friggin' Engel.
Right.
Yes, if you want to get weird, there's Friggin' Engel as well.
If you want to get weird, there's Friggin' Engel. Okay.
He most certainly does.
Can you write down the time that was said? I need to clip that.
If you want to get weird.
That may be coming to an open near you.
I like that. That's good stuff. Fantastic.
But no, we do. And then J.C. Pearson's the last person on that show. And I was kind of like, how do you debut a new show and not have one of the hosts? But now that I found out what's going on with J.C.
He had a family issue or something.
Yeah, he's got a really big family issue. So I hope that God is with him and that his family makes it through this tough time. And he's been on the show off and on, but they've got a hard time ahead of them. So, you know, I think this is going to
break
as good a time as any. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come right back with we're going to talk about Father's Day in baseball.
All right.
I threw a wish in the well. I look to you as it fell, and now you're in my way. I trade my soul for a wish, pennies and dimes for a kiss. I wasn't looking for this.
For Kelly's Westport Inn. Do high gas prices got you down? Well, don't worry about it. Hop on the bus to Kelly's Westport Inn and save some jingle jangle as you drink until you're blingle blangle. Kelly's has the best open air roof in town with beer and drink prices that are cheaper than at the pump. That's for sure. There's plenty of TVs to watch the soccer and the football games this summer. Plus, there's someone for everyone, and you can find him or her at Kelly's. Hearts and smoochies! So check out Kelly's Westport Inn, and you'll have more change to fill up your range, Rover. This has been Ben, Kelly's Westport Ben, saying smell you laters!
Come out and spend All-Star Day Sunday at the Negro Leagues Museum with members of Baseball Prospectus, Royals Authority, and the Royal Man Report. We've put together a pretty entertaining program, and across the street will be former All-Stars. For $35, you get to experience all of this, plus you get to see us, the Kansas City Baseball Vault. That's worth $35 right there. Baseball Prospectus and the Royal Man Report invite you to join us for a great day of baseball on Sunday, July 8th at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Festivities will run from 10 a.m. to noon and 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. There will be a networking reception following the event from 2 to 3 with refreshments. From 12 to 1, the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum will hold a special free public town hall meeting at the Gym Theater with some of baseball's legendary stars. Reserve your spot now. Go to baseballprospectus.com and join the Royal Man Report and the Kansas City Baseball Vault for some all-star entertainment.
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. You know, one thing about it is sometimes we lose our way and we forget that this show was about having fun, and Chris brings it right back to where it should be and reminds us how fun this can be. So
I'm winded. I'm tired.
Well, that was quite the little dance moves you put on there.
The chat room, AD McGregor 3 asks, was that your impression of Frenchie and the real Ned dancing after he got kicked out of the game?
That is exactly what happened.
That is his walk-up song. Else.
It is.
It is, yeah.
I can only imagine that's what they would dance to.
We were talking about in the break, or you heard on the break, that we have an all-star event coming up, and this is very exciting for us here at the Royal Man Report.
We have an all-star event.
And I really, truly mean that. It is our event. I worked personally with Joe to get this set up, so I never thought that a Facebook message to Joe Hamrahi and saying, you know, hey, if you need some help setting up an event in Kansas City this year, let me know, would turn into what this has become. But we're very excited. It's $35. Head over to baseballprospectus.com and click in the header. You'll see the baseball. It's like the baseball stadium tour or something like that. Scroll down to Kansas City. Click on that link and go from there. Plus, we tweet it out about 3 or 4 times a week. So
that will be July 8th.
July 8th. It'll be in the morning. It starts at 10. Goes till about noon. Then there's an event at the Gym Theater, which is going to have some all-stars at it. But I will not announce who they are until Bob from the Negro League Museum tells me for sure who they are. But there is talk of 3 amazing names that I've heard so far. One that
if you like home runs,
yes,
you're going to like this.
One that I believe is booked for sure, and then one that's a maybe, and one that's maybe not. But if the maybe not shows up, it's going to be one of the greatest events of all time.
So wait a second. Could we call them maybes?
We could call them maybes.
Oh, wow.
That is some
synergy all over.
This show is on fire today. But you'll get the Gym Theater, and then we come right back to a Baseball Prospectus event, and then you get a reception where you can talk to the baseball. There's going to be baseball personnel people from the Pittsburgh Pirates, among other teams. Why the Pirates? Because it's somebody they've worked with in this this baseball LinkedIn deal that they're doing. So they're going to be here
because
for the
original Bad News Bears were busy.
Right. Yes. And so there'll be people from different teams here, along with the guys from Baseball Prospectus and us, if you really care to meet us that badly, but we're really not that hard to find.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's going to be a lot of questions directed our way, but well, you never know.
Greg has promised to heckle Chris and I, at least.
Greg? Greg Shum.
No.
G-Rod.
Greg Smith.
Oh, God, I forgot his last name. He's going to shoot later. He's
Greg Layton.
Yes.
Well, he's not coming now, so
yeah.
We don't have to worry about that.
I'm going
to
get so much crap for that.
We don't really know what's going on, except for the fact that there's going to be industry people there. There's going to be the thing at the gym. It's going to be the Negro Leagues Museum. We probably are going to have like a 1% deal with this,
we're
going to be there, and it's going
to
be cool.
We're
so,
there to
come
set
on
up
out.
Folding chairs and tables, pretty much.
That is fine.
And to make sure that the event comes off. And then Jay Catering is going to have some food there at the end.
Jay Catering, for all of your catering needs.
So,
please call
Jeff.
You want to read it?
Is this my live read?
Want me to leg it up?
Is this it? I'm getting nervous. Maybe
this time we'll actually get the live read wrote down instead of trying to do it from memory.
Zing, Michael Engel, ladies and gentlemen.
He's got the yips. He's got the yips.
I have the yips, indeed.
Yep. So, but anyways, check that out, baseballperspectus.com. It's $35. It's well worth it. You get a 3-month subscription to Baseball Prospectus out of it, and you get, I believe, a 1-day pass to the Negro League Museum, among other things. So you get your money back. It's not like you're paying to see these guys and not getting anything for it. You do really get value for it. So there's that.
And it's the cheapest thing that you can do on All-Star Sunday.
Now,
I mean, literally.
Yeah, it really will be. And it should be over or nearly over by the time that you'd want to leave to go out to the Futures game.
It's like
it just 2 depends
o'clock,
on,
right?
Yeah, it depends on how
yeah, everybody's
going to
be down there for the 5K anyway. So just travel the 9 blocks down the street to the Negro Leagues Museum, you're good.
It's going
to
go on all day pretty much. It starts at 10, ends at 4. If you need to leave before that, you know you can, but there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. Sorry, I had some beer in my in my pipe there. So it's Father's Day.
I think you're doing it wrong, Troy.
Yes, it is. It's Father's Day, and for three of us, we can talk about stories we've had with our dad, and then, of course, Chris can talk both directions of it. He's the stories he's had being the kid and being the dad. But for me, my parents have been divorced since I was 4, so my stories are far and in between. But my dad and I have had some great times at ball games, and it was always a time that we really connected before I was able to start skiing, which is how we connect now. But we had the Denver Zephyrs when I was little. And we'd go out to AAA Denver Zephyrs games. You could get free tickets. I remember we sat through a doubleheader one time, and Dad's like, "We're really going to watch this much baseball?" And I'm like, "Yes, we are. We are definitely going to watch this much baseball." And we would go down to Rockies games after the Rockies came to be. And I remember he made me leave a game early when the Rockies were down 27-14. No, it was more like 9-2. But
you got the
wrong
sport there.
It felt like 27-14 at Mile High and at Coors at times.
True.
But he made us leave early, and the Rockies came back, and we heard him win on the way home, sitting on I-25 in traffic. And I told Dad, I said, I'd never leave a baseball game early again. And barring that I have to go somewhere for work or an emergency, I don't leave baseball games early because of that game. But it's definitely been a lot of my younger memories, my really, really good memories with my dad happened at ball games when it was just him and I. So, Jeff Herr, what kind of memories do you have of Father's Day with your dad?
I feel like I've talked about my dad a lot on the show, but my dad is
as well. You should. He's a better man than you are.
Absolutely,
I can tell
in
you.
Every way, shape, and form. But it really, my dad is like the one thing that's kept me in any way that's kept me in baseball and kind of pulled me back, because like he obviously started out. You know, I played baseball as a little kid, and there was a time where I actually got away from baseball as a fan. Like, I kind of followed the Royals or whatever, but, you know, it wasn't much more than that. And I was just pretty much all Chiefs, you know, especially, you know, late 90s, early 2000s and whatnot. And then I kind of slowly started getting back into it. And if it weren't for the fact that my dad was such a hardcore Royals and baseball fan, then, you know, I probably... Who knows if I ever would have came back, and who knows if I ever would have, you know, emailed Michael Engel to be a part of his site, mm-hmm. which eventually comes to me being on this show. So, you know, my dad is just – I've never met anybody who likes baseball more than him. And I oftentimes when I was younger, I questioned why. But with the Royals. But I kind of see now, and it's – I have him to thank for me being here and for the baseball knowledge that I have and for being the baseball fan that I am today. So – if my dad's listening, thank you very much. But he's a great person, great baseball fan, and was just a phenomenal dad growing up.
Let me go.
Yes, Michael Engel.
No, I like to tell this story because this is just how it happened. But it was the 85 World Series. I'm 5 years old. My dad's watching. And, you know, I had just learned letters and things like that. So I asked him, what does the R stand for? What's the H stand for? What's the E stand for? And that led to, you know, discussing, you know, the game and what was going on and the rules and everything. And, you know, he told me that the Kansas City Royals were playing. And I was like, well, we're in Kansas. And it was right there from that point on. I was a Royals fan. And that's kind of what it is with fathers and sons. You either take up what your dad liked, his team and all that, or you're completely the opposite. You know, you either have to be with it or against. But that's one of the key things that I remember. I also remember just, you know, playing baseball and my dad taking me out to the field and throwing batting practice. And I like this story because I tell this story. I help coach Little League now, and they're at the age, they're 11, 12-year-olds. So some of them, you know, it's like the second year of coach pitch, and some of the kids are afraid of the ball and whatnot. And I remember being that age and having the same kind of problem where, you know, you don't want to get hit with the ball because that thing doesn't feel good. And it's funny because my dad took me out there and I kept stepping out and everything and flailing away. And finally he just reared back and beamed me.
It was like, you know, there's some fatherly love right there.
Nice.
And then he asked me, he was like, did that hurt that bad? I'm like, no, that didn't hurt that bad. Well, now you can stay in there. And, you know, it took a couple years for me to actually, you know, get the coordination to swing the bat well, but I wasn't diving out anymore. So, you know, I liked that story as well, and I get to see it now with, you know, all these kids that I help coach with one of my friends and seeing them. So that's really cool. It's really cool to see that link between, you know, fathers, sons in baseball, and parents in baseball. I mean, it's a game, it's a kid's game, but everybody kind of has that same mystique about it. So yeah, it's really cool to be around that.
Can you confirm that your Little League team is the Owls?
We are the Owls, the Lawrence Owls.
We got it right. Good job by you.
Yeah.
Well, I had talked to him about it earlier in the day over Twitter, so
yeah,
I knew.
Yeah, yeah. We've won two games, which is, you know, not bad. It's better than zero.
You were teaching them what it's like to be a Royal early on in life.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it's about. So... Get used to this. It's still some of those things where, you know, there's trouble hitting the cutoff man or knowing what the cutoff man is or, you know, running through the base or, you know, not stealing first base after you've already stolen second base and things like that. So, but yeah, the Owls, and we have two wins, and, you know, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
It's a nice reminder of that time, a simpler time.
Little League's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Little League is interesting.
2 hours, four innings. It's great.
What did you say earlier? There's a Circle of Hell specialty just for Little League, I think. That's awesome.
No, that was for Royals fans.
Something,
that was
for
going to a Royals game with Cardinals fans.
Okay, so now you, Mr. Kamler, you have lots of stories, I'm sure, so all right. Why don't you enlighten us?
Yeah, no, this is my favorite dad story. When I was little, my dad worked for Power and Light for 30 years. He was a head chemist for Power and Light. And he worked there for forever and forever, forever. So we went to the Royals games a lot because we got Power and Light's tickets. And we sat down kind of like where you guys stand now. There used to be seats there. And we were right on the front row of that second tier of seats. And we went out there probably 15 times a year just with those seats. And so that was pretty cool. When I was like 5 or 6 or 7, I don't know what it would have been, the John Mayberry Royals. So this would have been the late 70s, early 80s, I guess. And I was a pretty obnoxious kid. I know you guys are going to find that very hard to understand. No, I know. Make sure you're sitting down when you hear this. Well, I used to yell Big John really super loud, right? And just like in like a sort of semi-racist way, you know, that only like a little kid could get away with, like Big John, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
And then I always used to sing the national anthem and the seventh inning stretch really loudly. I was extremely proud of I was extremely proud of my singing prowess. And my dad, you know, instead of you know, smacking me or telling me to shut the hell up or whatever, he got a kick out of it. At least I think he got a kick out of it. But to the point where, like, people around him, you know, were like, shut that kid up. And, it you know, one guy paid me $1 to go sit somewhere else. And I was like, I can make money being obnoxious? This is awesome.
And hence Rambling Morons is born.
Exactly right. So, you know, just for him to take his kid out to the game and to let him be obnoxious and to, you know, let him be cool. And I had the coolest dad in the world. Here's a shot of my dad when he sat in the Buck O'Neill seat. And that's my mom and my brother and me and my baby sister and my, not pictured, my other sister. So, you know, we had a baseball family, and we had a lot of people that were very, very baseball oriented. And we were all, you know, summers were just all baseball, baseball, baseball. And so hopefully, you know, I can pass those things along to my obnoxious kid.
Oh, I think you've already done that. Has anybody seen the video of him down in Northwest Arkansas?
Yeah, exactly. Brett, you want to come talk about what Father's Day means to you?
Brett, come here.
Come here.
You're going to be on
the radio.
You're going
to be on the internet.
Hey, while we're getting bread over here, if we do, I did want to confirm some things coming across Twitter. Again, we record this show on Sunday nights, and it's been confirmed by Holtzman that Bruce Chen, or it's been confirmed by Elias, but reported by Holtzman, that Chen is the first Royals pitcher in club history to record a hit as a pinch hitter. When Holtzman told Chen about the record, he responds, "I have the batting gloves in my bag if they need it for the Royals Hall of Fame."
That's awesome.
Brady, we're talking about what Father's Day and baseball. Do you have a Father's Day baseball story? Like, we like to go, and on Mother's Day we like to leave mommy alone and you and I get to go to baseball games. You want to tell a story?
What's your favorite story about being with your dad?
You like to drink a lot.
That is the greatest.
That's perfect. That's Father of the Year material right there.
And we didn't even plan that, but that could not have went better.
Perfect. Yep.
That's the top line of the tombstone, folks. That's good right there.
Additionally, the Royals report, Bob Dutton is reporting that the Royals second baseman, Chris Getz, exits the clubhouse wearing a boot on his left leg. He'll be examined tomorrow, but it doesn't look good. Guys, what are they going to bring up to replace him? Because they have no pitching left now. But they're in a National League park for the next 3 days, and they could use some pinch hitters and some defense or some backups at second base. So what do you do now?
Clone? I don't know what they do. I mean, Cologne could be a guy that they designate for assignment. Lewis Coleman would be eligible to come back if he's replacing an injured player. Normally, they have to wait 10 days after being optioned back down, but in that case, they would be able to bring him back up, or any other reliever if they chose to go that route. I would bet they're probably going to go with Irving Falu because he was just the AAA player of the week.
Yeah, he's going nuts.
Last week. He's going crazy.
Absolutely nuts.
He's got he's a switch hitter. He can play multiple positions. I'm really surprised they didn't bring him along for this road trip in L games because he would have been a really valuable kind of guy to have around because you can put him anywhere on the infield. You could even throw him in the outfield if you really had to. Plus, like I said, the switch hitting. So I would guess it's probably going to be him. He had a better showing when he was up with the big league team than Johnny Giovitella. I'm confused on Giovitella because I think he can still be an everyday second baseman at some point. But, when he's been up, it hasn't come together for him. So I say it's probably Falu. They might go with Coleman to get another arm up here and another arm that they know is going to be effective.
So in our chat room right now at RoyalManReport.com, we're having some conversations. People are helping out in there. And from our friends from Twitter, SOP Master, he said that Dutton reported that
isn't
Johnny,
he in first place in our fantasy baseball league, Michael Engel?
I need to update
shouldn't
my
shouldn't be anymore.
Engel takes this league very seriously. Now? It's kind of scary.
Yeah, I took it back. I had a 5-point lead on Friday night.
Oh, okay. Like, right. 5.2-point lead.
Man. So Dunn reported that Johnny G was taken out of the game shortly after Getz went down. Dave Darby, 46, saying that as well, possibly heading to Houston. Now, Mike, you're adding to that you thought he got hurt.
I saw someone say it was an injury, but I wasn't watching the game today. I was running around Kansas City and whatnot. So I don't know. That's just what I heard. If that's not correct, then so be it. It's not correct. It could be Giovitella if they pulled him.
But going back to my original point, and future Mrs. A1 also hit on this in the chat room, she says, who do we have left to pitch? I mean, even if they put Getz on the DL and you bring Coleman back up, you were saying designate Cologne for assignment, bring somebody else up. Because we're going to need somebody tomorrow because the Royals are going to need somebody tomorrow because you haven't gotten more than five innings out of Sanchez in over a year. So you cannot expect this guy to pitch 7, 8, 9 innings tomorrow with any sort of, decent.
Yeah, there's not a lot of reliability there.
So there's going to be a lot of need for a bullpen tomorrow, and our bullpen took a hit today with the 15-game
game. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, I mean, everybody pitched except for Cologne, who had pitched each of the last 2 days. So, everybody's done a lot of work. A 15-inning game is going to do that. It may just be something where if Sanchez can't go, some guy just has to go and take it. If he's got to put up, a Vin Mazzaro kind of outing where he just gets hammered to save the other 6, 7 guys in the bullpen. I mean, it may be just one of those things. You write off one game to have the opportunity for the next 5 to have a full bullpen.
Now, with those of you with the 9-year-old listening mentality in the audience, which we know there's a lot of you, yes, we managed to say 5 inches and just take
it. What's this
within 2 sentences, we had those 2 lines out. So 5 inches and just take it came out of that conversation.
That's all you, Troy.
So
that's our chat room right there.
That's our chat room, yep.
Yep, we know our audience. So
now let's see what else is going on here that I've been trying to pull out as we've been going along. There's the biggest news: Sal Perez catching back-to-back games, maybe ready next week. This is a big deal to me because I've got Brian Peña scheduled to come on the Vault on Thursday. Is Brian Peña, if Sal Perez comes up? Well, I guess he probably wouldn't come up in Houston, so he'd probably come back on Friday. But if Sal was to come back next week, who does he replace? Do they take three catchers?
I think they're probably going to do three catchers for a while, but eventually you're going to have to cut that down to have Perez in a backup. It's no secret that I am not a Quintero fan.
No, really? At Michael Engel on Twitter, folks,
I think
if you have any questions.
He's vastly overrated defensively. When we got him from Houston, that was, you know, oh, he's a great catch and throw catcher, but you know what, I'm just not impressed. I don't see that he's done that much more than what Brian Peña has been able to do defensively. So neither of them are gold glove guys. Peña, at least
the chat room all seems to be in agreement that we have to cut Q.
Yeah, and Peña can hit a little bit, and you look at, you know, guy in the clubhouse, you know, Peña is one of the best teammates you probably have in there. And the Royals, obviously, you know, Jeff Francoeur is very valuable to them. Bruce Chen is a valuable guy to them. You know, they certainly put a little bit more value on that. Now, is that going to be enough to keep Peña over Quintero, who, you know, they didn't trade two realistic prospects for Quintero? They're not paying Peña $1 million. So I wouldn't be surprised if they kept Humberto
that trade
Quintero.
Looks worse and worse all the time.
Oh yeah,
I mean, why not just bring? Terrible. You didn't want to have Cody Clark up because he wasn't good enough offensively, but Quintero's batted 200 the whole year,
And he's got like a 260 on base percentage. So.
And Cody Clark has a better arm.
He's worked with a lot of the younger pitchers. It was a weird move then. Now that we've given up Kevin Chapman and DeAndre Toney, who's really toolsy. I mean, he hit the crap out of it in rookie league ball last year. So, you know, maybe nothing develops out of him, but it's more the idea behind it that they traded these two guys who could develop into something valuable for a major league team for, you know, Jason Bourgeois, who is hitting like 188 in AAA, and Humberto Quintero, who is, you know, anything he provides on defense, he gives right back on offense. So it's just a really confusing trade, and it just seemed like it was unnecessary at the time, and now it seems even worse.
Well, and I tell you this, if they go 2-for-3 in Houston, if the Royals go 2-for-3 in Houston, come back to Kansas City winning, what, 7 out of 9, and have the
that,
Cardinals.
That put us, what, 4 games from .500?
4 games from .500, possibly 3 games out of first place.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got the Cardinals, and you got Sal Perez coming back. My God, can you imagine what the K is going to be like?
You know,
yeah, but on the flip side of that, if we get swept by the by the Astros,
and Sal gets hurt his first game back,
there's going to be a lot of
Sal pulls a groin, you know, right before he comes up.
Yeah,
boy, aren't we Royals fans? Just always
you're always waiting for the next thing to go wrong.
You've seen this?
I put this out on Twitter, and I've reminded people too, though. Just bear with me. I didn't think they would want to do something like this during interleague play, but they do have an off day on Thursday. They do a lot of moves on off days. There's somebody they might call up if they feel like calling it up, and I'm not talking about Sal Perez.
I think he's talking about Will Myers.
Let's jump in on that. So the big thing
I think
I've had
they're
on
at a point where they just can't keep him away.
Well, the thing is,
he's going to have like a million home runs.
Well, and you're starting to see a lot of national baseball people on Twitter are just randomly tweeting about Will Myers. Like, that's how good he is. When a AAA, I mean, you saw that with like Mike Trout and Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg and Phenom guys. So when those national guys are talking
Goldstein,
about Will Myers, and the Royals are just like, oh, we don't want to rush him. You know,
Kevin Goldstein is actually tired of answering Will Myers questions. He gets dozens of them a day.
Anyway, Troy, what were you saying?
I was going to say on that subject, the whole thing that I was waiting for with Will Myers is I did not want him called up before the Super 2 date. MLB Trade Rumors is reporting that date has come and gone. That date can change. I mean, they could say that, okay, enough people are up now that the Super 2 is over, but if 4 of those people get sent down, then it's not over, guys.
It's always a projection. The only time they can actually guarantee, because in the CBA, it's The players, a Super 2 player is determined by 22% of players that have 2 years and 86 days of service time and less than 3 years. So you take that group of players, the top 22% are determined to be Super 2 players. They get 4 years of arbitration. That's what's the deal now. Now, if you look at Will Myers, if in his first year of arbitration, he could get $5 million. If that's his second year, that, you know, they usually don't take a pay cut in arbitration the next year. So you could be looking at $5 million, $8 million, $12 million, $15 million. You know, that's money each year that the Royals wouldn't have. And that's why the Super 2 is a significant deadline. But like you said, you never know when it is because you don't know it until 2 years later. So we won't know for sure. But if they're not at that 2 years, 86, if they're at 2 years and 85 days of service time, then they wouldn't be included to be calculated in that pool. So that's why the only way to really guarantee it is about the middle of July.
I'm ready for Will Myers to be up like everybody else.
Yep.
But let's be real and realize that this is a small market team. It is what it is. You're tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of talking about it. And I'm tired of talking about Will Myers. And I want him to be up here. But if it means that he can't come up till the All-Star game, that's fine. But man, oh man, if we got Will Myers and Sal Perez up about the same time.
That'd be a good day.
I think
just
there'd
before the Cardinals series.
I think you could see 35,000 people.
Let's also not forget that. It took Hosmer quite a while, but took him a little bit to get going last year.
Took
Moose quite a while to get going. He had a good 6 weeks to end the season.
I say
so,
wait until
after
the All-Star.
Will Myers comes up. No expectations should be placed of him coming up and pulling a Bryce Harper and hitting 350 with 10 home runs.
Stealing
and
home.
15 games and all that
right,
kind of
Bryce
stuff.
Bryce Harper
you know,
just went over 7 and struck out
by
10
yesterday. As good as Will Myers can be, he's not going to be that good right away. I mean, regardless of how good pitching is in AAA that he's been facing, it's not as good as the majors, and it's going to take some adjusting. So there's also that.
Clint Scholes,
it's not just like he solves all these problems.
Clint Scholes just mentioned that most likely Haas and Moose will both be Super 2s, and so you really do need to start watching out for that because if the Royals were to lose Moose, Haas, and Myers a year earlier than necessary, if Bubba Starling
doesn't
work out...
Well, it's not a year earlier. That's not a consideration.
It doesn't lose it, yeah.
You don't lose the year. It's just they get an extra year of arbitration.
So they get more money soon.
Yeah.
They're both guaranteed to have 6 years plus of team control. It's just the
matter. See, this is just all too confusing for me. Can we just watch baseball and talk about it? That's what... I'm the fan in the group, remember? I can't deal with all these numbers. Anyways, I think it's time to take a little break here, and we're going to come back with an interview that's going to be about 30 minutes long with one... Mr. Nick Wright of what station is he with now? It's Sports Talk.
Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Texas.
And the opinions of Nick Wright are his and his alone, but it's a good interview. We'll be back.
Show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past, present, and future.
Gordon dives, and yes, he made that catch.
The Kansas City Baseball Vault, every Thursday at 6 on ESPN 1510 AM.
Monday Night Mike.
In the last 2 years, all of the teams in the NFL, with the exception of the Chiefs, have made some sort of upgrade at quarterback or have maintained their franchise player.
If you're telling me this year in the draft that the Chiefs have the opportunity to trade 2 first-round picks along with their second-round pick both years for the number one overall pick to take Matt Barkley, I'm jumping on that. I am. Maybe I'm alone in that. Maybe most people think that's too much. I don't.
Listen to Monday Night Pikes live every Monday at econetwork.com.
Hi, I'm a woman, and I listen to Bugcast Podcast.
Hola, soy mujer. Oigo a Bugcast and Podcast.
And when I do, it makes me hornier than a hoot owl at midnight.
Cuando pensar de eso, toda la noche, como...
If you think Zac Efron's sexy, You haven't seen anything yet.
Si piensas el sexo es guapo, no has mirado nada todavía.
Look out, David Beckham. You're not the only one with just your underwear on.
Cuidado, David Beckham. Tú eres el único que no tienes calzones también.
Bugcast makes me feel so good. Jealous much?
Me siento muy bien con Bugcast. Me hacen celosos.
Listen to a new episode of Bugcast, released every Monday.
Welcome back to the Royal Man Report. That was some garbage technical difficulties here we were doing. So,
what? We have technical difficulties?
Yeah, I know. Shocker.
Never happens on either of our shows.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to wrap our show. We have about a 30-minute interview with Nick Wright. We are going to post that later this evening at royalmanreport.com as part of this entire show. And for now, we're just going to talk for a couple minutes and we apologize for bringing you guys in, but we are going to get that wrapped up and get the technical difficulties corrected, and then we will make Nick's segment part of the show, and we'll have this thing up in like an hour. So,
and I'm going to go ahead and say you probably want to listen to that segment of the show.
Yeah, here's the problem.
We'll call it interesting.
If you're interested in the scene in Kansas City, sports radio, media, all that stuff, you'll want to listen.
Yeah, you'll want to listen. We recorded it. Here's a little inside baseball. We recorded it at 6:30. And I'm my computer is like making it ready for the podcast, and it's like at 60%. So I'm staring at a status bar, and so that's part of the problem. I tried to cheat and put it in a different way, and it didn't work. And so anyway, long story short, we'll have it for you in about 30 minutes, and we will post it up to RoyalManReport.com. We'll post it up to Podomatic. We'll post it up to YouTube, and we will have all that. And having already conducted the interview, I can tell you unequivocally it's something you want to hear, so stick around
now,
for that.
Now, along those lines, this isn't set in stone, so don't crucify me for this, but we are potentially going to have Mark Carman next Sunday in studio.
Yeah, that's our goal.
What
the hell else is he doing?
Right? Oh, that's cold.
Ouch. Wait, keep him up there. Keep him up.
Sorry. Yeah.
Keep him up.
Bob and weave, baby. Bob and weave. I'm friends with a mutual friend of his, and he has said that he can get him on the show, and him and my friend Elsie and him are going to come on with us on Sunday.
Love
here
it.
In studio.
And hey, he's a good guy, and he's probably, him and Robert Ford are probably the two most knowledgeable Royals people in the world.
Hopefully, I mean, and little preview to that, hopefully Carmen can land somewhere in Chicago where he's from. That would be the best situation for him. So this may end up being a good thing for Carmen. It may give him the jump start he needs to get back into Chicago. Sorry, reading notes here as they're coming up on my screen.
Yeah.
That's how it works. You know, you gotta read the stuff as it comes up. So anyways, definitely check out all of our events.
I never
that
have any
coming
issues
on
with that.
For the,
no,
never have.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. We got our events coming up for the All-Star Game. Check those out. Keep watching kingsofkaufman.com for all pertinent information to the Royal Man Report and to the Kansas City Royals. And check out Pine Tar Press for all of your minor league coverage, because even...
Not all of it.
Well, not all of it.
Sorry, Clint. I'm not going to...
Wow.
We'll share traffic with you guys. How about that?
I got cold in here.
Go to Kings of Kaufman for some of ours, and then you can also go to
when you're
Pine
done,
Tar Press.
When you're done
right.
ingesting yourself, like gorging yourself on Royals knowledge,
yeah.
Then, like, you know, if you want a little, like light appetizer after, after dinner mint, you can, go read one article
on
Clint's
they
website.
They do very, very good work there. I'm not trying to disparage anybody who reads them, because I read them.
Good, because once Radio Wars is over, we're going to have
Blogger
we're
going to
have Blogger Wars.
Awesome.
We're going to make that up.
I got more people on Kings. No, it's cool.
Radio
people,
Wars
go
will
to Pine Tar
Press
if
you
want to.
That's the 100 Years War.
They do very good stuff.
The Kansas City media scene. In case a little historical knowledge bomb dropped
wow,
right
that
there.
That was great.
There it is.
People in the chat room are already talking about Bubba Starling and how he's going to do in Burlington. I don't care. Just let him get to Double A. once he's in Double A or even Kane County
might be the problem.
Right. And I'm serious. Until, you know, we had Professor Parks on, or Jason Parks, who is Professor Parks on Twitter. He told us that Bubba Starling has about a 25% chance to make the major leagues, which is why when people get all uppity on me about Aaron Crow being a reliever, Aaron Crow as a shutdown reliever is not a failed pick. It's a pick that is too high for what he did, maybe. But you can go back through the drafts and you can look and probably find, what, my 10 to 15 players any year don't make it.
I mean, anybody know what Jeff Clement's doing anymore? Pedro Alvarez picked just one pick ahead of Eric Hosmer. You know, up until this year, really had done nothing.
And last I heard, Colt Griffin is not throwing fireballs down for strikes for the Royals. So
it's not going well for Colt.
No, it's not. It's similar to with the Chiefs. You look at like Tyson Jackson, who started, you know, the majority of the games he's been a pro, and people call him a bust just because he's not a bust.
Sometimes
okay, he's just
projects.
He's not as good as where he was drafted, and that happens absolutely a lot. So, you know, like to your point, Troy. No way is Aaron Crow a bust. You know, he is not the number 9 pick. The Royals probably could have done better with that, but to get value out of there, I mean, how many first-round picks have they gotten zero value out of? More than they should is the answer to that question.
I guess before I brought this up, I should have looked up and seen who else in that draft has made it to the majors and who hasn't, because I'm sure there's a handful.
There's always. It's always hit or miss. I mean, you're taking guys who are 17, 18 years old out of high school who, you know, apparently they're still living at home, I assume. You know, you throw them out into the real world, you give them all this money, you give them expectations, and then, you know, sometimes they don't pan out. I mean, it happens. And it happens in every sport and every draft and every organization.
And I hope the best for Bubba Starling, but he is a kid, guys. And I think that's the difference between him and somebody like some of the guys that make it to the majors at 19 is that they're much more mature. You know, he's been playing basketball, baseball, and football, being the big guy on campus here in Kansas for a while, and now he's got to go down there and be one of the guys, just somebody else in the minor leagues, and really show how good he is to get to the top, to make it to the Royals. And nobody wants – I mean, I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of people that want as much as I do, I'm sure, for there to be an outfield in Kansas City that resembles something like Will Myers, Bubba Starling, and Lo Kane, or Alex Gordon, Will Myers, and Bubba Starling. I mean, how awesome would that be? And then you got first and third with Moose and Haas and, you know, whoever at second base, Escobar at short, you know, Sal at catcher. That would be a great Royals team. That'd be a Royals team we could be real proud of. But it may not happen.
And kind of you mentioned how, you know, Bubba Starling is a kid and he's young. And that is true. He is pretty young. But on the flip side of that, he will be 20 in 2 months. So, you know, he's, as far as prospects go, especially ones that have not played a professional baseball game yet, he's a little bit older than some of the high school guys, I should say, that were drafted right out of high school. So there is that to consider, too, which is kind of, I think, part of the reason why people are so anxious for him to get up and get going. Because if he was someone who just had his 18th birthday and he's ready to start playing, that's a little bit of a different issue. You've got some years on him, you know, but if he takes a normal 3 to 4 years in the minors before he gets up, you know, that makes him, what, 24 by the time if he's a September call-up, you know, in 2015, he's, what, 24 or whatever it is. I mean, that's a little bit older than you.
Yeah.
Maybe 23, yeah. So, I mean, that's a little bit older than you'd like. And there is that consideration, which I think kind of fuels the fire a little bit.
It's not terribly old.
It's not a huge.
It's just that.
It's not a huge issue, but it is there.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Rainey did studies on first round picks and the age when they were drafted, and the curve, the advancement is a lot greater. Like, you do a lot more improvement from age 17 to 18 than you do from 18 to 19. And so on and so forth, and it's kind of like, you know, it's a bell curve of some sort. So, you know, that's something to consider. You know, if he does pan out, he's a guy who could be the best in baseball. But, you know, that's a lofty expectation, and, you know, you see it with, like, Mike Montgomery. Yeah, he still has a chance to figure it out and be an almost ace caliber kind of guy, but that chance is every single day. It's closing up. It's 1%.
Can I have a Roman report confession right now?
What's that?
I don't have any music.
I I think I might be done on Mike Montgomery.
Yeah.
I just think that it I've been one of his biggest supporters thinking that he can still get it together. And like you just said, there still is a chance, but I may be shifting my hope to maybe he can catch on in the bullpen.
Is it fair to say that Minda is probably the biggest optimist when it comes to guys in Omaha? And even,
who?
I think it was Minda Haas.
Minda Haas. Oh, okay, yeah.
She said 2 weeks ago, she goes, is it time to start getting worried about Mike Montgomery? And we're like, Minda, we've been there for months.
Yeah.
We've been worried for a while. A lot of us are checking out at this point. He just can't throw strikes, guys. You got to have it better than 1-1 or 1.25-1, which is I think what he was today. Strikes to balls, it just doesn't work with what he's throwing right now.
Yeah, and that's that is the unfortunate reality that we're living in as Royals fans.
As Royals fans.
Well,
but there it is.
Chris is still working on something over there. Ignore
I think
the
I got an idea.
Good low. News, though. John Lamb in early July is set to make his first appearance
Very
in a
news.
Game since Tommy John surgery, and that's great. You know, with him and Odorizzi and Kyle Zimmer eventually, you know, maybe that's and the new group. Too.
Where is Kyle Zimmer going to start? Have we heard this yet?
I think he's still going to be in Arizona.
He's hurt.
He's got the
hamstring
groin
stuff. We did the best thing we could do and just drafted a hurt pitcher. We just started him off right
now.
Yeah,
there you go. It's going to happen anyway. Might as well get it out of the way. Right?
Soapmaster was saying in our chat room that he expects Zimmer to make the pros a year before Bubba Starling does. I wouldn't be.
That's possible.
If he gets healthy and can get any minor league games this year, I would not be surprised to see him up in, I wouldn't say next year, maybe September next year, but the following year, I could see him be either a camp break or more likely a all-star break type guy that gets called up, and maybe not a rotation guy, but he's something. It sounds like Chris has something working here as far as the Nick Wright segment's concerned.
Maybe. It may just be another try and fail. But those of you who stuck around to watch the Nick Wright segment, I think what we were going to have is this segment. We will probably close the show with this segment. If not, if this all flames out, then we'll it will just have it on later.
We will indeed close the segment with this show. So if this works, so this will be the last you hear from us. You'll hear the Nick piece, and then we'll be out of here. So we'll find out if this is going to work here in a second, though.
Awesome! Thanks for joining us on the Royal Man Report. We're here every Sunday at RoyalManReport.com. Don't forget to catch the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Whenever Thursday,
big show on Thursday. Brian Pena, Danny Jackson, and Greg Pryor. Two in studio, one on the phone. No more two on the phone stuff. We'll be from 6 to 7 on Thursday on 1510 and 1510.com, although I've heard that sometimes the online doesn't work for us. So either way, I'm Troy Olson.
I'm Jeff Herr.
I'm Mike Engel.
I am apparently a drinker, according to my 9-year-old son.
And hopefully this is Nick Wright coming up. And until Thursday, we'll see you Thursday and next Sunday right here back at the Royal Man Report, RoyalManReport.com.
All right, welcome back to the Royal Man Report. My name is Chris Kamler. We are joined by Jeff Herr. We are joined by Michael Engel, and we are also joined by, is it Troy Olson? Is that your name?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
very
that's,
nice.
That's my name.
Very nice. After a Royals victory today, we're kind of celebrating here. We are excited and proud to bring in on the, it's not the Time Warner Cable hotline anymore, I don't think. It's we need a sponsor for that. But we're going to bring in Nick Wright from KILT 610 Sports in Houston. Nick, we kind of had an idea to bring you on and preview the Astros-Royals game. But
sounds riveting.
It really does. I mean, the Astros are clearly an exciting ball club, and the Royals are the Royals. But I had a couple of questions for you on another topic, if that's okay with you.
Whatever you want, man. Whatever you want.
First of all, how is Houston?
Honestly?
Yeah.
It's awesome, man. Like, I was very, very nervous, and I'll even say a little scared when I, you know, 2 weeks ago today, I was driving from Dallas to Houston, and 2 weeks ago yesterday, I was driving from Kansas City to Dallas, and on that drive, I was a little scared, nervous. I don't know, I know one person down here outside of work, the whole thing, but thus far, and, you know, we'll see, talk to me in a couple months, but thus far I'd say it couldn't be going any better. The guys I'm working with are awesome. The place I'm working for is, I mean, just the culture in there is great, and the style of the show, and CBS Radio is, for sports talk radio, the best company to work for in the country. So there's all that. There's the fact that, I mean, I've got, it's the show's called In the Loop with Nick and Lopez, and Lopez is John Lopez, who wrote for the Houston Chronicle for like 15 years and transitioned to radio, and he's as good of a guy as I could come across, and he's very, very laid back, you know, but he has strong opinions, but he lets me put the show together 90-95%, and then if there's something I've left out he really wants to talk about, we'll put that in. And so he lets me steer it, which was another one of the things I was worried about, is I've always been used to being in complete control of the show, and he's been perfectly fine with that. But the benefit to having that co-host is, while I've done my research, you know, it's always worried that you're in a new town and someone's going to call up and ask about Dan Pastorini, and you're like, damn. You know what I mean? But since I have Lopez, who's been here forever and writes books about local sports figures and things, I have that added calm, for lack of a better term. And there, let's be honest, the sports culture of this city fits me better. I've done 2 weeks worth of shows, and we have done two segments total, 14 segments a day or 16 segments a day, 5 days a week. We've done two segments on the Astros. One was the day after they got the number one overall pick, and one was the day after they got perfect gamed. And that's it. And so no one has texted. No one has texted and said, where's my Astros talk? And you guys know, I know you guys are diehard Royals fans, and I love the Royals as a fan, but as a sports talk guy, I was never that interested in talking about them because they weren't that interesting. But you had to in Kansas City. Here, it's been 50% of every show every day is the Houston Texans, and the other 50% is really whatever is interesting. And so that's just – I miss Kansas City because that's my heart and my hometown, but I could not be happier 2 weeks in than I am right now. So it's going very well.
We call that the Royal Man effect. It's really just the four of us texting into all the radio stations asking why we're not talking more Royals.
The secret's out.
Well, then you guys have had an influence.
Hey, what in the God's name is going on at your old radio station? Now let me preface this by, you've been gone 2 weeks, and your departure, the way I saw it, was pretty classy. You had a big party out at the Royals game. You had beers with just about anybody and everybody that you wanted to. And the second that you got in that car and drove down to Houston, all hell broke loose. Now, this has nothing to do with the guys in your time slot now, because Jay Binkley's one of them, and we have a fondness for Jay a lot.
Can I jump in real quick?
Please.
Because you mentioned Jay Binkley. So we'll get into Carmen Carter's dismissals in a moment, I'm sure. But the day it happened, I was really mad, and I was really upset, and I felt like we'll get into that. And I fired off a few angry tweets. And there's one of them I would kind of like back. And I apologize to Jay for it. And I would, if I knew Josh, I'd apologize to him, Josh Vernier. One of them was the ilk of, but I'm sure my old boss's former producer, which is a position Josh Vernier had, and the night guy from 810 are going to do a great job taking on Keats. And that was, listen, I wasn't even the night guy when I started. I was the weekend guy. And there, for no, the fact that I think it is awesome what Jay Binkley's done. And for Josh Vernier, it's a great job. In my head, the tweet was, the point I was trying to make was, we've spent for 5 years at 610, you know, 5 years trying to build credibility. How much credibility is the hire going to have when everyone knows this is the guy who was doing nights after Keatsman? Now he's supposed to beat Keatsman. But those guys, I wish them luck. I hope they do well. That's not true. So hold on. Individually, Jay and Josh and JC Pearson, I hope they all have individual success. But I am because of what that radio station did to what I think are very good, hardworking people, I'm not necessarily rooting for rating success in that time slot, because then I think it would vindicate what was bad decisions, not on the hires, but on the firing side. And so I apologize to Jay via Twitter, and he was as classy about it as can be. Vernier, you know what I mean? The point that I was making about my old boss hiring his old producer is hires that my former boss, Ryan McGuire, has made at 610, for good or for bad, here's who they are. Robert Ford, who he used to work with in Michigan. Bob Fesco, who he has the same agent as. Sean Sharif, who he has the same agent as. Danny Parkins, who I alerted him to. By no means did I get Danny the job. I didn't have that type of power. But I certainly helped them get in contact. Carrington Harrison and Jared Carter, who I campaigned for, and basically I did have enough cachet to get, you know, interns moved up to hourly guys. So by my count, he's made six hires, three that I introduced him to, and three that either his agent introduced him to, or I'm sorry, four now. Josh Vernier, and I left out Josh Vernier. Josh Vernier, who used to be Ryan McGuire's producer 7-8 years ago when Ryan was on the air. I'm in this industry, and I like to think I know this industry very, very well. There are so many talented people desperately looking for a shot. Jay Binkley maybe is a good example of them. Indignant's probably the wrong word, but I'll use it. Indignant at the fact that for some reason, my former boss is just convinced that the best hires and the most talented people all either are represented by the same guy that he is as far as an agent goes, or he used to work with at some small radio station in Michigan. I think it's absurd. And I wasn't so much taking a shot at Josh as I was trying to take a shot at, are you kidding me? How many people, how many young, talented or old talented or whatever it is people are working in Arizona or in Colorado or in Virginia? To have the scope of your reach be people who you share representation with or people you used to work with. I know that you want to be comfortable with who you work with, but I just think it's limiting. I think that when you go about it like that, you miss out on a potential DA. You miss out, if I may, on a potential Nick Wright. You miss out on talented people who don't have a connection but want to work for you and will bust their ass. So that doesn't really get to what I'm sure some things you want to talk about. But one of the reasons that I wanted during the U.S. Open and on the day of the NBA Finals, one of the reasons I wanted to make sure I got to talk to you guys was because I did want to kind of clear the record on that. I have no animosity or ill will towards any of the people hosting afternoons at 610. And I hope their careers go well. I just have a lot of anger and just you mentioned I left classy. I don't know how much I'm going to get into this, but I let the 610 management off the hook. I put that, and ultimately every decision you make, in my opinion, is because you want to make it. I'm a grown man, so nobody forced me anywhere. But I presented it on the air as if 610 from the beginning did everything they could to keep me and keep that show together, and I just wasn't hearing it. I had to go try something new. And the reason I did that instead of – and while that was based in some truth, it leaves out a good amount of background that probably would leave the listener saying, Jesus – and I'm not saying like I'm some important guy, but I had a popular radio show in Kansas City and I think a loyal fan base to where they would have said, you could have kept Nick and would have. And I've seen it happen. I saw it happen at 610 when I got there with DA. DA was super popular. The listeners knew management screwed up with him. And it took us 2.5-3 years to gain back some of the trust. I didn't want the radio station to have to go through that. Because I want Danny and I want Carrington to be successful. And because I had every reason to believe that if I left on the best terms possible, which I thought I did. I mean, Ryan McGuire is quoted in the Kansas City Star saying, I can come back whenever I want, which is kind of an absurd thing to say to the newspaper in our industry, because then if I am Josh Vernier, I'm like, well, why do I want this job? You just said Nick can come back whenever. But I thought I left on the best terms possible. And one of the big reasons I did that was because Carter and Carmen stopped. Carmen was not a producer, and Carter was not a board op. Carter and Carmen were personalities on What's Right. And I didn't want to scorch the What's Right 6-10 relationship to where they would end up screwed. And the fact that I went out of my way to make it go over as smoothly as possibly with the listeners. And there really wasn't a lot of, you know what I mean? Screw 6-10, you let Nick go. It was more of good luck to you, Nick, whatever. I felt them letting those guys go, and much more importantly, the way in which they let those guys go was so backhanded, underhanded, I should say, and unnecessary that I, you know, with those handful of tweets, scorched all the goodwill that I had from how I left.
We're talking on the Royal Man Report with Nick Wright of 610 in Houston, now 610 in Houston. Greg Hall's website implies that you were forced out at 610. What would you say to that?
I didn't even know that. Yeah. I didn't know that.
You yourself said that there's more to the story, that it wasn't a complete.
Just listen, I'll give the very Cliff's Notes version of it. They were very, very confident that 9 months from a wedding, kid entering high school, me being from here, and them offering me a nice salary, that there's no way I'd leave. And I was of the belief that I know how much money my show generated. And we were, you know, I mean, it was at its core initially, they thought that they could get me for a much lower than market value because I never wanted to leave Kansas City. And they misjudged that. But listen, I don't want to spend much time talking about Greg Hall. The guy guesses on everything. I mean, I hadn't seen that story, but someone sent me a story that he wrote about Laszlo. Listen, Laszlo from 96.5 The Buzz he will be in my wedding. He's one of my best friends in the world. And I called him after my first day in Houston, and I said, guess what the biggest hit on my show today was? And he said, what? And I said, none of your business. None of your business is the name of a game that Laszlo does on his show. And I said, none of your business. I said, I told you guys the moment I got out of Kansas City, I was stealing that right from you guys just the way you guys stole it from Kevin and Bean in L.A. And so, you know, we laughed about it. And then Laszlo, because he's Laszlo, goes on, you know, a rant on the radio. And Greg Hall writes it up as fact. So the guy guesses, and that's fine. It's entertaining, and people enjoy the coverage. But no, I was not forced out.
Well,
at 6:10.
One of the things that I think confuses a lot of us that have this weird obsession with Kansas City sports radio is what is in the theater of the mind and what is actual hardcore stuff. And that was never more clear the day that Jared and Carmen were let go. Because then shit got real, you know, to pardon a phrase. And so, you know, spend a few minutes. I know we need to let you go because I know you're looking forward.
I got another. If you want it, I got another 15 minutes for you.
All right, fantastic. Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, Carmen and Jared and what those guys meant to you and your show, and maybe a little bit about their separation.
All right, listen. I said this on one of my last days, and it was true then, and it's true now. What's Right as it initially was, which was me monologuing for 2 or 4 hours with phone calls and an occasional interview, that was never going to be better than a fifth or sixth place show. It just wasn't. You need other voices. You need other. It wasn't. Jim Rome can do that. I ain't Jim Rome. It was never going to be better than a fifth or sixth place show. And what Carmen Carter did, and I don't want to leave Carrington out. Carrington was a huge part of this as well. He just moved on with success to Danny's show. What they did was they gave the people who hated Keatsman and hated me equally a reason to listen. Because, all right, well, Nick's an asshole, but Carter's hilarious. Or Nick's a dick, but I really like Carmen. Or whatever it was. And they added perspective, they added voices, and they made the show go from a fifth or sixth place show, which was, by 6-10 standards, wildly successful, to a, depending on the month, second, third, or fourth place show in the market, which by anyone's standards is very successful, and is a huge reason I got this job. I mean, let me say one more thing about this job I got. There's four sports radio stations in Houston. You add three of them, the second, third, and fourth place sports stations, you add all their ratings up and combine them, they don't equal the first place rate sports radio station. That's the one I'm working for. The morning show on the first place rate sports radio station in Houston is the highest rated talk show in the city of Houston. Now, that's before I got here. Now, normally, when a job opens, it's because there's trouble or it's not successful. This is the opposite. It was so successful, the Houston Texans decided, Mark Vandermeer, the host, who already was their play-by-play voice, that they wanted him on full-time to do other radio and media things. So the job that I got is in the fourth biggest city in the country for CBS Radio, the best sports radio company in the country, the best radio company in the country, I should say, on far and away, the most popular show on the most popular station. It is and I've got to do a good job with it because there's very, very high expectations. And if I don't, I'll get fired. But this is really short of national radio, the dream job. And I don't get this job. If the show is not doing as well as it was in the ratings in Kansas City, that's Carmen Carter. And the truth is that with all that said, I don't have enough cachet yet to just bring guys with me. Now, I think I could have gotten on either on my show or a different show at this radio station in Houston. But Carter's got a kid. And Carter's got we talk about it on the show. Carter's got a kid with a lady who has another kid with another guy with split custody. So he can't leave. And I did not have the cachet to walk into a new job and just get an on-air role for someone else, and that someone else being Mark Carmen. And so Carmen understood when I left that if they were going to bring in this three-person show, which we heard very early on they were trying to do, that he, without talking to anyone, he knew that salary-wise he could be, you know, if they're going to have three new people in the afternoon show, he might not still be a part of it. He understood that. And had they gone about it like men, in my opinion, the day he got fired, Carmen would have called me and begged me not to tweet about it, begged me not to make an issue of it, and just said, hey, man, you know, they said they're going to, you know, that they're going to give me this reference and that, and, you know, it's okay. But they didn't go about it like that. And I'm not going to get into the specifics of how Carter and Carmen were fired because I don't believe it's my place. But I'll say this. It was in as cowardly and unnecessarily harsh manner possible. So that's Carmen. And Carter had no reason to believe he was getting fired. Carter is great at his job and was fine with if they said to him, hey, man, in the afternoons from 2 to 6, you just can't talk anymore. Sorry, it's nothing against you, but I would for the audience, they've got to move on from Nick's show, move into this next show. You can't be a part of it. But Carter was very popular, very talented, and had a great rapport already with Danny and Carrington. There was no reason to fire him other than they wanted to, you know, clear the walls of any remembrance of, if I may say, the far and away most popular and successful show the station's ever had. And I don't think that's the right way to go about business. And I don't think you treat employees who have worked far longer than 40 hours a week for very little money. I don't think you treat them like that when you don't have to. And it's just terribly frustrating. And I've mentioned his name a few times, so I'll say it again. My old boss, Ryan McGuire. I owe him a lot. He taught me a ton about radio and helped me get a lot better. But the man is unable to deal with people on a personal, professional level. And I don't know what the character flaw is, but if every interaction has to be with him from a position of power, treating you like the help. And the only reason the only reason he stopped treating me like that was because I passed him in the corporate power structure, if you will. At some point, I became more valuable than he was, so he couldn't treat me like shit the way he treats every other employee of that radio station.
Let me ask.
And
go ahead.
I'm sorry?
No, you're fine. Go ahead, Nick. Sorry. Finish your thought.
No, and I just – and, you know, I don't think that should be rewarded. And so I don't think treating people like that should be rewarded. I don't think ending relationships the way they did with Carter and Carmen should be rewarded. And more importantly, I don't think it's necessary. You can run a successful radio station without doing that. And it's just, to me, highly unfortunate that I feel like the work that me and my guys have done over the last 5 years, really, where it became me and my guys, the last 3+ years. Every day, day in, day out. I mean, parties at the 810 zone and guerrilla marketing and breaking stories and bonding with the listener and making 610 a legitimate, not just property, but factor in the Kansas City sports scene. I feel like it was all undone in the span of about 2.5 weeks by bad, bad decisions. And maybe I'm putting those decisions at the feet of the wrong person. And maybe I'm being unfair to my former boss. But whomever is responsible for how Carter and Carmen were dismissed and how the new afternoon show was introduced and how just things are going over there, whoever's responsible for that, in 2.5 bad weeks, I think almost completely undid everything that we did to build that up in the last 3+ years. And that's very, very disappointing for me. And it's very disappointing for me that I no longer will be allowed, and I did this to myself with those tweets. But I mean, once I got settled in Houston, I was thinking there's no reason I can't once a week does or something come on Danny's show, do a 10-minute segment. There's no why not? I can still have a voice but now that can't happen, and it's unfortunate, and I don't think it was necessary, and the thing just makes me a little sad in general.
I got a couple more questions for you, and then we'll get started on we'll move along and let you watch the finals and get on with your day. First of all, that's a pretty big that's a pretty nice digs you got there.
Oh, this year I give you a tour. This actually is they're giving me 60 days in corporate housing down at the medical center in Houston. My fiance and kids get here in about 10 days, and we close on our house in 2 weeks. And you want to see something nice? I got me a pretty fly house, Chris. I got to tell you.
Nice.
I don't hate it down here, man.
That's awesome.
This is just a temporary thing. I don't hate it down here at all. But so this is – they did give me a nice little spot to kick my feet up for a month or so while I get the house closed on. But we'll be moved into our house in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas in about 2.5-3 weeks.
That's fantastic. And we're excited.
Yo, what up?
Hang on. There you go.
Before you get out of here, I just personally, from me to you, I just want to say thank you for everything that you did for the KC Royal Man you know, the legend of it here in Kansas City, or whatever you want to call it.
Legend.
Don't thank me, man. That like farewell party I got to do was so awesome, like, for me to be able to like see that and do that, and things like that were only possible because people like you, and you know what I mean. There were a lot of people who I felt like had a one of my most gratifying things about my time in Kansas City was there were a lot of people who had opinions and things to say and were doing cool things, but didn't have a voice for it. Like, didn't have a way to like let people know about it. And I felt like with you or with my friend Ryan Scott Hall or his Darkness or the Film Room on Twitter, or for a lot of those guys, Jay Fish Sports is what it used to be, Jay Fish SOTW. For a lot of those guys, my show became like a meeting place in social media for people like Fake Ned Yost and Jay Fish and Tom Fear and those guys to get together and kind of build their audience and do cool things. So that was one of the most gratifying things about the gig. And so I'm trying to build that here in Houston. It's just going to take some time. But no. I owe you more thanks than you owe me, my man.
I honestly hope people embrace you down in Houston the way we have here in Kansas City. And, you know, you really did help build the brand, and that was the word I was looking for, not legend. But you helped build the brand that is KC Royal Man, and I truly believe I wouldn't have gotten it without you.
Don't sell yourself short, man.
We don't need to feed his ego anymore than we need to. Nick, I'm going to ask you one more question, and we'll let you get on with your Sunday. First of all, happy Father's Day, and I know you're a father,
Thank
so happy Father's
very much.
Day to you.
This was the first year where this was the first year where my fiance didn't claim she gets presents on Father's Day as well because she's a single parent. So I think this is the first full year I've been fully embraced as the dad. So I appreciate that.
All right, knowing the aftermath of your departure at 610 Sports on your way to, what is it, Sports 610 or Sports Radio 610?
Sports Radio 610.
They just flipped those two words around, depending on the city,
it's
I guess.
It's unbelievable.
knowing the aftermath and what happened in the wake of your departure, would you do it again?
See, now that's, it's funny. I was saying this to Carmen the other day. I said to him, These people, if they were going to fire you and Carter, how did they not use that in my negotiations? How did they not tell me, all right, Nick, just so you know, though, if you leave, we're firing your guys? Because I would have reconsidered. It's an impossible question. Here's the truth. The truth is I know for a fact Mark Carmen's going to have a great job in the next 2 weeks. I'm certain of it because he can go anywhere. Jared is in a tougher spot because he has to stay in Kansas City, but I've got to think there's a music station in Kansas City that could use his audience and could be enhanced by him. So he'll be all right as well. This is a better fit for me. This is a better job for me. This is better for my family. And so I'm glad they didn't tell me Carter and Carmen were going to get canned, because then I think I probably would have convinced myself to stay, and I don't think that would have been the right thing for me. Maybe that makes me a selfish person. I don't know. Maybe I owe them that they didn't tell me. Maybe they were just trying to be gregarious by not telling me, but I don't think they think on that deep of a level. It's sad what's, you know what I mean, what happened. But the truth is this. In 2.5 months, it'll be football season. Very, very few people will remember me. Danny will be doing great. Danny and Carrington, I should say. People will be listening to one sports station when it's on commercial and the other one when it's not. And, it'll be fine. I'm not that important, and as much as, you know, my crew wasn't that important. But right now it sucks. And so I guess I'm glad I didn't know it was going to happen, because I don't know how it could have potentially affected my decision. But I am very happy to be here. I'm working on maybe potentially you might be able to hear me on the weekends in Kansas City via a national outlet sooner rather than later. I'm working on some stuff down here that by the end of the week we should have the bulk of the show podcasted. If people want to hear the non-Houston parts of the show podcasted, I'm going to work on that. And I couldn't be happier, man. It's very self-serving, but it is beautiful down here. The people are nice. It is affordable. They really care about, I mean, the NFL is number one, number two, and number three. They care about the NBA. It's very diverse. There's this city feels like home immensely more than I thought it would, and much sooner than I thought it would. So while I miss KC, I'm glad I'm here. So I know that's kind of a non-answer, but it's the honest answer.
So is Houston an Oklahoma Thunder town, or is it rooting for the Miami Heat, or is it just wanting both of them to fail?
They're a Rockets town, but like most of the country, they're just anti-Heat, which is going to suck when the Heat win in five and LeBron gets that first ring.
Oh, there it is.
And see, and you're a Thunder fan.
Thank you.
There it is.
Did we lose him?
No, he's still there.
Talk to you guys again. Thank you, Chris and Michael and Jeff and Troy. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, Nick, thank you very much. Good luck with your show, and if you need anything, just holler.
All right, later.
Thanks, you bet.